I want to talk to you this morning from the book of Daniel, chapter 3. So you have it with you. Go there with me. And just based on the story of faith. You know, when I think about what faith is, it's interesting because I truly believe that it is easy to really claim that we believe when everything goes well, isn't it? I mean, you can say that you have faith when everything is going well, when the bills are getting paid, you're healthy. I mean, anybody can have faith, right? I mean, I truly believe it is easy to believe when things go well in our lives, my friends. But it's only, it is in hard times, in times of trouble, that you get to realize how strong your faith truly is. It is in difficult times that you get to experience whether your faith is genuine or not. You see, the worth or the value of your faith is never known in time of peace, but it is truly known and evident in times of trouble. My friends, I just want to let you know that whatever you choose to believe, whether you believe in God or not, whatever beliefs you have, they all be tested. They will all be tested by the circumstances that we might find ourselves in. Your faith is going to be tested. Whatever it is that you choose to believe will be going through trials. Now, is your faith evident during difficult times? Is your faith evident during moments of trials? It will be after the trials or difficulties that you and I will experience and get to know whether our faith is truly strong or not. Peter reminds us in his first letter to the church that the trials that we face, they come to truly prove the genuineness of our faith. In other words, the difficulties that we experience, they come to us to test, to examine how strong our faith truly is. It is as though our faith is going through the fire. And it is going to be through the fire that whether you're going to see whether your faith is refined or not. Remember, James even said that, rejoice whenever you face trials of all kinds, because they have a plan and purpose to refine you and I. You see, talking about trials, think about the story of the Jewish people around 586 BC when King Nebuchadnezzar, a Babylonian king, came and besieged the city of Jerusalem. So the Jewish people went through one of the toughest times in their history. The city of Jerusalem was destroyed. The temple that Solomon had built was destroyed. The temple treasure was taken to Babylon, and many of the Jewish people were taken to Babylon as slaves. Many of the survivors, I mean, they went to Babylon and they worked in the provinces of Babylon. Among some of these prisoners, we have a man named Daniel. Now, we know, according to historians, that period of time in the history of the Israelites, it is known as the Babylonian captivity or the exile. Now, what does the exile meant? What did it mean for the Israelites? When you think about you're taken from your homeland to a foreign land, you know, and everything about you, your house is destroyed. I mean, yes, we're going through a pandemic, but let me tell you, this is nothing compared to what the Israelites went through, because we still can be in our homes. Their homes were gone. Their freedom was gone. I mean, in the exile, what did it mean for the Jews? No temple or law, Mosaic law to guide themselves. They had no priests, no sacrifices, no holy feast or offerings. There was no family traditions, because your freedom as a nation is taken away. See, your freedom now belongs to Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. You see, my friends, there will be nothing in Babylon to remind them of God. There will be nothing there to remind themselves of God. Now, let me ask you, would you still worship and honor God if you didn't have a church building? Would you still worship and honor God if you didn't have church programs or church ministries? Would you still honor and worship God if you didn't have a pastor? Would you still honor God when nobody else around you is doing it. You see, Daniel had three friends. They were all taken captives, and God blessed them even though they were in a foreign land. And God blessed them with wisdom and knowledge, and they were put in charge of some of the affairs of that land in Babylon. But a lot of things changed for them. Imagine all the temptations. Now you won't have anything to remind yourself of church, to remind yourself of God. God is far away. Everything that will remind you of God, the temple, the priest, the sacrifices, the feast that they used to celebrate, all that is gone. However, Daniel and his friends, they still remain faithful to God even in times of trouble. Even when they didn't have anybody else worshiping their God, they took time in the quarantine that they had, in the time that they were in exile, to praise and worship God. You see, even their names got changed from Hebrew names to pagan names. You see, Daniel, the word Daniel means Yahweh, God is my judge. And then he was given the name in Babylon called Belteshazzar, which means Bel protects the king, or he protects the lineage of the king. His three friends, Hananiah, which means Yahweh is gracious, was given the name Shadrach, which means command of Aku, the moon god. Mishael, who is like Yahweh, was given the name Meshach, who is like Aku, or Aku. And Azariah, Yahweh has helped, was given the name Abednego. So you see, these three friends, from being, I mean, they came to Babylon and their names got changed. The Babylonians say, hey, you're here now, we're going to give you our names. You're going to be known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You see, even though they were given Babylonian names, these young men made the choice to be faithful to God, even in a foreign land, even in a pagan culture. But you and I need to understand that their faith was severely tested every time. Every time they had temptation and people around them say, hey, you don't need to worship your own God. You can just embrace the culture, embrace what's going on around you. Just like we see the same temptations even today. I want to read to you one of those severe trials that they went through. Remember, they already been placed on the, in positions of authority in Babylon. But even though they're still enjoying some of the welfare of the land, they were still tested. And in chapter 3 in the book of Daniel, we have one of those tests that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went through. King Nebuchadnezzar had made a statue of gold. And he commanded in the kingdom that at the sound of musical instruments, everyone will bow down to the statue. And so I just want to read a portion of scripture in Daniel chapter 3. So read with me. So you see the background, what's going on. Daniel chapter 3, verse 1 through following says, King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold 90 feet high and 90 feet wide and set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other officials, provincial officials, to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. So the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up, and they stood before it. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, this is what you are commanded to do, O peoples, nations, and men of every language. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into the blazing furnace. Therefore, as soon as you Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and all kinds of music, all the peoples, nations, and men of every language fell down and worshipped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. There was a decree in the land. There was a command by the king. And when the king commands something, you must do it. You see, whoever did not bow down to the statue that King Nebuchadnezzar set up will be killed. Literally, you will burn alive in a furnace. You see, how will the Jewish people deal with that? Because now, things will go against their faith. Things will go against what they truly believe. And it's going to be in this trial that they're going to really show whether they're going to compromise their belief or they're going to stand for what they believe. You see, later on in verse 12, they are denounced. Look what happens. Verse 8, at this time, some astrologers, perhaps your version might say, some Chaldeans, came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You have issued a decree, O king, that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold, and that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into the blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, O king. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are denounced by the Chaldeans. There are some Jews, they say, whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they already made up their mind that they would not bow down to idols. Remember, in the law, that was one of the first commandments. Thou shalt not have other gods before me, says Yahweh, says the Lord. Thou shalt not make yourself an image and worship that image. And now everyone in Babylon was doing it. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego made the choice not to compromise their belief. However, the king was furious when he heard that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego dared to challenge his decree. They don't pay attention to you, king. You see, it's interesting. King Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to really find out if it's true that they were choosing not to bow down to the statue. And it's interesting that King Nebuchadnezzar wants to give these three men a choice to denounce their faith. And it's almost like as though he was saying, I'm going to give you another chance. So at the sound, bow down. If not, then you're going to be killed. Look what he says. Verse 13. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods and worship the image of gold I have set up? Now, when you hear, here's the chance, here's the opportunity. Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. Then, this is what Nebuchadnezzar said, then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? You see, the kings say, is it true that you are challenging my decree, my command? Now, I'm going to give you an opportunity. There's going to be music playing, and at the sound of music, bow down to the statue, because if you do not worship the statue that I made, you will be thrown into the blazing furnace. And then, listen to what Nebuchadnezzar said, and what God is going to be able to save you from my hands? In other words, I'm the king, I'm in charge, and no one is going to be able to rescue you from my hands. Now, it's interesting. I love the reply. What these three men told Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 16 through 18, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, We do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your hand, O Majesty, O King. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O King, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Wow. I mean, think about that response to a furious king. We want you to know that the God we serve is able to save us from your hands. But if God chooses not to save us, we want you to know we're still not going to bow down to your statue. You see, these men have already made up their decision. They already made up their minds not to compromise their belief, regardless of how severe the test was. You see, when I think about their faith, there's a word that comes to my mind, and it is the word conviction. I think a lot of people in our society today lack conviction. They might claim to believe in something, but it's truly the conviction that tells you whether you believe it or not. You see, conviction is defined by the dictionary as a firmly held belief or opinion. I view it more like it is synonymous of assurance, confidence, or certainty. Because these three men, they were confident that their God, Yahweh, the Lord Almighty, was able to rescue them. They have heard story growing up how God delivered his people. And they were confident. They had the assurance that God will deliver them. That's conviction, man. The God we serve, they said to the king, is able to rescue you, to rescue us, to save us from your hands, O King. But even if he does not, we want you to know that we will not worship your statue. We will not bow down to idols. They were certain that God had the power to rescue them from the king. However, they also understood that God might choose not to intervene. But whether God intervened or not, they say, we will not worship idols. We would not. We rather die than to bow down to the statue. They were willing not to compromise their belief in God, whether they were saved or not. And I think you and I need to understand that God is powerful enough to save us, but sometimes God will let us go through trials. Sometimes God might not save us from perils and other tribulations that we go through. And they acknowledge that. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they acknowledge that. Now think about that. We will worship God whether he saves us. That's what they said. We will worship God whether he saves us or not. We will not compromise our belief to save our lives. How many people will compromise their belief because of difficulties in their lives? That reminds me a lot when the Christians were being persecuted. They rather die than to deny Jesus as Lord. We will obey God even if it costs us our life. This is conviction. This is truly unshakable faith. Faith during the trials. Their answer angered the king. I mean, if Nebuchadnezzar was angry, now he's going to be much, much, much more angry because of what the response of these three men. So he ordered the furnace to be heated 7 times hotter than usual. Look at verse 19. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. Then the king's command was so urgent that the furnace was so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Now, I just want you to notice something right here. The king got angry, much angrier, commanded Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to be tied up and thrown into the fiery furnace. Now, do you notice that? God did not keep him from the fire. They got thrown into the fire. They got bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. God did not keep him from being thrown into the fire. But God showed up to walk with them in the fire. You see, God saved them from the fire. You see, at times, you and I need to understand, as believers in Jesus, at times, God won't keep you from a situation, and you might think that he's not even there. God might let you go through a situation, through a scenario, through a circumstance in life, and you might think, where is God? God, why are you allowing me to go through this? You're thinking, he's not helping me. You see, he will let you go through the trials, but he will show up to help you within the trials, in the trials, in the difficulties. Just like God himself went with his Jewish people, with his nation, into slavery. God promised to never leave us or forsake us. He will go with you even in the fire. In the storm, the struggles, God will show up in the midst of the fire. He will show up in the midst of the storm. So, you see, they got thrown into the fire. God did not keep them from the fire. But he showed up in the fire with them to walk with them. Look at what happens later on. I mean, they threw these three men into the fire. Verse 24. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked the advisors, "Weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, O king." He said, "Look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed. And the fourth looks like the son of the gods." God came to rescue his people. God came to rescue Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. King Nebuchadnezzar was amazed and said, "Hold on a moment, what's going on? You know, I don't understand this picture. What's going on? We threw three men bound, but I see four men walking around unbound, unharmed." He was astonished. It's interesting because the faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego made an impact in this kingdom. You see, now God intervened. God is rescuing. God is doing his thing in this pagan society. Let me just continue reading the rest of the story. Verse 26, Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire in them. Isn't that God amazing? They were not even smelling like fire. You know, there was no barbecue that day for the Babylonians. I mean, they came out unharmed by the fire. And they could not understand that because it was a miracle. God showed up to deliver his people, to save them from the hands of the Babylonian king. You see, their faith made an impact in the kingdom. It caused a pagan king to give glory to God because of their faith. You see, unshakable faith is evident. People will notice it or see it in your action. It's like James says, faith without works is dead. Your faith will be demonstrated in your action, what you do. You notice verse 28, what Nebuchadnezzar said? He said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach." He doesn't even know this God yet. He doesn't even know the name of this God. But he said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants." And then he said, they trusted in him. And I underline that. "They defiled the king's command, and they were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God." These are the words of Nebuchadnezzar. He's praising God for what the Lord has done. "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he said. And then it's interesting, again, you see, God is honored by this pagan king and this pagan society. Look at verse 29. Therefore, this is the decree now. The faith of these three young men changed even the law of the land. Isn't that amazing? It says, therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces, and their homes and their houses be turned into piles of rubble. For no other God can save in this way. No other God can save like Yahweh. He's a way maker, miracle worker that we're saying about today. And now we have even pagan society praising the God, even though they do not know him personally, praising the God of these young men because they stood up for their faith. They were convicted. They had conviction, and their faith was unshakable, that even in the midst of trial, even in the midst of the furnace, they were willing to worship God and not compromise their beliefs. That is unshakable faith. And my friends, you and I need to understand, unshakable faith points people towards God. And it will cause people to praise God, even though they might not know him personally. See, Nebuchadnezzar praised the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego because of what he saw. He saw God working in powerful ways. You see, unshakable faith is also rewarded in this life and the life to come. Now, read with me the last verse. Verse 30. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Slaves thrown into the fire because of their belief. The Lord intervened, rescued them, and now people are praising God. People are introduced to the God of the Hebrews in Babylon, all because of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because they stood up for the faith. God was honored there because of the unshakable faith of these men. And not just that, and now, you know, the king himself is gonna promote them. They were already in charge of some of the affairs of the province, and now they were promoted in that province, all because of their faith. All because of their unshakable faith. You see, when I think about that, my friends, unshakable faith is rewarded in this life and the life to come. Jesus applauded people's faith every time he healed somebody. Remember, Jesus would say, your faith has made you well. Your faith has healed you. When people did not show faith, they did not get any reward. One time, Jesus went to Nazareth, his hometown, and the Bible says that he did not do many miracles there. Why? Because of the lack of faith. Your faith is rewarded in this life, not just in this life, but even in the life to come. How do I know that? When you go into the book of Revelation, Jesus is addressing one of the churches. In Revelation 2:10, he says, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Be faithful to the point of death. That's exactly the story that we are looking at. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were faithful to the point of death. They were faithful not to compromise their belief. And they got rewarded there. And you and I, because of our belief in God, as long as we're faithful not to compromise, not to give up on what we believe, to continue being convicted, assured of what we believe, we're going to be rewarded in this life and the life to come. Sometimes you might not see miracles because you don't truly believe that they are possible. But Jesus said, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Let me ask you, how is your faith during these difficult times? Do you have the assurance that God, the God you and I worship, is able to keep us from harm during this pandemic? The answer to that, yes, we believe that he's able to do that. But I also believe that if he allows us to contract the virus, if he lets you get sick, or even if whatever takes our life, will you still, until death, to the point of death, will you still worship God? And say like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, the God we worship is able to do that. But even if God chooses not to save us, we still continue worshiping him alone. We will not compromise our belief. Because we know that the God we worship is able to do more than we could ever ask or imagine. Are you ready to worship God even when things don't go the way that you would like? You see, you might have to make a choice. Are you willing to worship God, Jesus, even when things don't go as we anticipate? It is a choice you and I will have to make. And my friends, may Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be an example for us in what it means to have unshakable faith, even in the midst of trying times, even in the midst of difficulties, even in the midst of fire. Genuine faith is demonstrated in the trials. And right now, while we're going through, you and I have an opportunity almost every day to demonstrate truly what you believe, to show the world that you're hanging on to Jesus, that you have your faith that the world will not understand. And the world is going to be motivated to worship God because when they see the faith that you and I portray in this world, when they see our deeds, our works, that we are not shaken by situation, we're not shaken by the pandemics, we're still hanging on to God, and we will worship Him for as long as we live. That is a choice that I had to make. That is a choice that you and I will have to make. Unshakable faith, genuine faith, has to be demonstrated in the trials, in the difficulties, in the moments and times that we're living in right now. May God bless you, and may these three men be an example for you and I into what it is to have unshakable faith in the midst of trials. Would you pray with me this morning?